Faith. By definition, it's something that is felt with strong conviction without tangible evidence of its existence. Many claim to have it, but how do we attain it? It can't be held. It can't be sold. But it can be passed down. Faith is invaluable to those who feel it. How is it that this belief can unite us regardless of our differences? It's because of conviction, that feeling inside that links so many, from the far corners of the earth to the closest reaches of our neighborhoods. Faith is all around us. Faith springs from a glorious past forward to a promising future. The faith that those who not so quietly defeated rivals and redefined record books would inspire their brethren of today to reach such epic accomplishments. And all along, there are those who cheer. In their minds, they envision. In their hearts, they believe. And because of that, they are simply known as the faithful.
I'm from Hollister, California, and it's a small town, mostly a farming community, filled with hardworking people, tight families, everybody knows everybody. Fresh air, blue skies, you know, California living, country living.
Always there, faithful by my side, guiding force through the day and night. And when I'm in over my head, you always save me. Amazing. Yeah, when I'm in over my head, you always save me. Amazing.
Determination, humility, and faithfulness are hallmarks of Mike Inati's makeup. This incredible musician's journey and his love for the Niners began at a young age, and neither of them came by way of an easy path. The Inati family were mainstays in the canneries of Hollister, an industry that paid no mind to those who were strangers to hard work. Tom Inati Sr., Michael's father, was a mechanic who toiled in the canneries and would instill hard work and a blue-collar grit that would resonate with Michael throughout his career. An oasis to the day-to-day grind, an occasional trip north to catch a game. Although sometimes at the wrong stadium.
My first football game was at the Oakland Coliseum, and I was taken there by my uncle. And so I got taken to a Raider game against the Kansas City Chiefs. We were in the bleachers, and there were some guys in front of us, Raider fans, obviously, and they turned around and they said, "Hey, you all Raider fans?" He looked at my sister, "You a Raider fan?" She says, "Yeah, Raiders, you know." You know, I kind of got looking over there, and I thought, man, I know this guy's coming to me. "You a Raider fan?" And I looked at him, you know, and I thought, you know, I'm not going to lie to this guy. "No, I'm not. I'm a Niner fan. I'm a 49er faithful." And at that moment, these people around him, you know, everyone kind of looked back at me, jumped up, and, "Oh, you got to like the Raiders. Come on." You know how the Raider fans are. I love the Bay Area. But the 49ers were my team.
He's always wanted to be the 49er fan since he was a little kid. We had the opportunities to go to a lot of the games in the DiBartolo, Walsh, Montana era, and it just grew on.
I saw my first game in 1979. My dad took me. It was a game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, actually, and Steve DeBerg was the quarterback, and he had the radio pack on his back. It was the whole ride going to the Niner games. That was just amazing. We'd get to the part where it was South San Francisco written on the hill, and, you know, my heart would start beating. Like, I knew I was close. I can just remember looking at the grass, just the vibrance of all the colors, seeing the crowd, hearing the sounds, and just all the energy there. It was almost like being at the circus. The Niners on top of it, it was just magical for me to watch them, you know, and it started there. It was a golden time, you know. I'm very grateful to my dad for taking us up there.
Although Michael had chosen his team, his path in the world was not yet paved. Like the back roads from his hometown, his course was winding and rough. that path would soon meet a fork in the road due to a freak accident. The accident occurred in Palm Springs, California, when a garage door fell on a then 20-year-old Michael Anati, forcing him to spend time recovering. That time resulted in an epiphany. That epiphany was to leave school and pursue a music career. The only challenge Michael faced was that he had no training and never played nor owned a single instrument.
Well, when I was a kid, I wasn't into playing music. I was into listening to it. I could tell it meant more to me than it did to the people around me. Even if it was a song they liked, you know, or a group they liked, music was always a big part of my day. And they didn't put me in lessons. My parents, you know, I was the third. I was the youngest kid. And so I think by that time, it was like, okay, if he's not making noise, we're good.
The youngest of the Anati kids wasn't making noise, but he was learning from those around him. His centers of influence included his brother Tom, a gifted musician, and renowned cartoonist George Crenshaw, who bestowed wisdom to Michael along the way. Although still with no known musical capabilities, Michael worked as he was taught to do so and never counted himself out.
I had no background, but I had this fire that's what I was supposed to do. It was so real and it was so clear that I knew that was my destiny. And I also knew that people were going to think I was crazy because I had no history of music. Playing, performing, zero.
As crazy as it sounded, Michael Anati simply did it. Teaching himself music from the ground up, he crafted his own style as a singer-songwriter, all the while drawing inspiration from family, friends, and the place he called home.
My dad always pounded into us like hard work, but that was hard work with your hands. It was a little bit harder for my dad to get Mike being a musician. What our dad gave us and gave Mike was that push to work really hard, and Mike's pushed really hard for his music. And I think that's why he's special and that's why he's good at what he does.
He's been working really hard since before I met him.
That Hollister background has always kept me grounded. It's a place where, you know, it doesn't really allow you to get very big.
Biggest thing about him for me is he's so humble, super talented, but you know, he's just always about how are you, how are your family.
If he had a gig in LA, and many times drive all the way down to LA, play his gig and come back that night. I mean, he is dedicated, but he would want to be back the next day to be there for the kids and help me out in the morning. So he's been a great role model to the kids, being able to follow his dream and following music.
He's very dedicated and hard working, and he's had good times and bad times with it, but he keeps on with it, and he's got a dream that he wants to come true.
He's just full of soul, and he means what he's singing. He's a great writer. His songs are powerful, and they're always from the heart.
Well, my music is a mix of different styles. When you put on an album of mine, it won't be just, you know, one song after the other sounds exactly the same, but they do all fit together.
Coming up, watch as Michael's path travels along the streets of Northern California to lend a helping hand. And later, his journey culminates in a dream realized. Do you have your own incredible faithful story to tell? Or do you know someone who truly is a faithful? Let us know about it. Email 49ers Studios at fns@49ers.com. and share it with the world.
Every home game here, we do a big tailgate party. We won Tailgater Champions last year. We're here at every home game, and we welcome every fan that like walks by and actually doesn't have a home or a tailgate to hang around. we'll just go ahead and, you know, invite people. They'll stop by and say, hey, is it cool if we, you know, hang out with you guys? And we'll say, yeah, sure, just, you know, post up and grab some food. Pretty much just music, barbecuing always, and good times. It's been a blessing to be a 49er fan. My name is Abel, and I've been faithful since 77.
I became a fan the day I was born. Yeah, my pops has always loved the Niners. It's like the one thing you know. He does music, he's a Niners fan, he's a great guy. That's like it.
Yeah, he is a true fan, and he's dedicated.
Dedicated. A perfect description of lifelong faithful Michael Anatti. This Hollister native singer, songwriter, and family man is a dedicated fan, but he is so much more than that. He's dedicated to his hometown, and his life's work represents that devotion with every note that is played.
What I always say, you know, is that I'm making music with the intention to create more love in the world. And that's the real reason I do music. It was never with the intention that I wanted to be a rock star or something like that. It was always with the intention that I wanted to create positive impact.
That impact became tangible in 2014 when Michael put his music into action, creating the One Family Benefit, which was inspired in part by his beloved 49ers.
I always wanted to do something for others, an event to take care of just people in general. You know, I always see people for the Niners, you know, I would see people, you know, doing great things for the community, and I would think, wow, how did they get all that going on? You know, I'd seen them going and Thanksgiving giving food out, and I've seen them taking trips to other countries, helping people with relief efforts, same kinds of things I was interested in doing with my own music. I decided that I would start a foundation. I started putting the idea together, and what kind of was the catalyst for that was in 2005 when we lost our mom, and she had a brain cancer. She was a great woman, a really generous person. And so that was what inspired me to call my foundation the One Family Foundation. 2 years ago, it got some teeth in Santa Cruz. Someone asked me to play at a small venue called Bochy's Cellar. And they said, hey, we want you to come in and play. This guy was a Seahawk fan, too. At the time, he didn't know I was a Niner fan, but he's a diehard Seahawk fan, what I learned after. So it's kind of funny. God had a sense of humor like that. And so, but there I was, you know, and we had the first one. So bands donated their time. I asked the people who come to bring warm clothes, canned food, stuff I could bring to shelters. And that's how I started to develop that.
Yes, I'm gonna let it ride. I got that feeling inside. For you, it's true. How could it be wrong when it feels so right? There ain't no place that I wanna hide.
Mike's just a super guy. He puts these shows together and does all the work, and we get all the credit and all the rewards from it. So what do you say about a friend like that? Hollister's success stories, a hometown hero, how he's chased his dreams, I think is an inspiration for a lot of other people.
Things go fast. You'd be surprised how much you can collect, but it goes so quick because there's so many people who are in need.
Ounce by ounce, coat by coat, note by note, Michael and his music are making an impact. Inspired by his team and driven by his faith, this diehard continues his crusade to do right for those around him and to give to those in need.
He gets along with everybody, helps everybody. He looks out for people with less than he has, and that's a good thing. He does it without any fanfare. He just does it because he wants to do it.
In 1979, I started following the Niners. In 81, I was solidified as a fan. I'm a product of the catch. When he made that catch, that was it. I was hooked forever. Faithful for me is my contact and my interaction with the other fans. I'm just one fan, but together, we make a special bond. You walk by people and you say hello to each other, pat each other on the back. For me, I hope to just be a really excellent representation of what it means to be faithful. I'm 49er Mark, and I've been faithful since 79.
City where the system of- to go on a mountain ride where I could find my freedom.
In 1992, Michael Noddy was called to become a musician and share the gift of song with the world. His music has been the catalyst for selfless deeds, including impacting his community and donating time and energy to those in need. While he has toiled in and around the areas of his hometown of Hollister, he has also been working diligently in the recording studio. Michael's music has been recognized in many elite circles and has garnered attention on national airplay and indie charts, where it reached the top five for 9 weeks. However, it was another call that drew Michael's attention in early 2016. That call came from his favorite team, the San Francisco 49ers.
Amazed. When I got the call, we'd like to line you up to sing the anthem. I was at my kid's baseball game. And I remember, I just checked my messages. I saw it down, I got a call, that's funny. And I was in a state of shock inside myself, like, well, this is going down. This is about to go down. And I couldn't wait to share it with the people I love the most.
I am proud of him, you know. He deserves it.
Been a great role model to the kids, being able to follow his dream and following music.
First thing I thought was he 100% has earned this. Like, I knew when he told me that he wanted to sing a national anthem in a professional sports game, I knew it was going to come true. And the fact that it's the San Francisco 49ers, his favorite football team, his favorite sports team, it's amazing to me.
I knew it because he writes it down. He visualizes, like, things like this happening. It was his goal, and he accomplished it. And it's unreal, but it's totally something I expected out of him.
I'm big on goals. I'm big on writing down what I see for myself. It's something I've always done.
Yeah, when Mike got a hold of me and said, hey, they asked me to play the national anthem at the Niner game, and the first thing I thought was, that's awesome for him. And then he said, I really want you to play. And I just, for a moment, I kind of sat back, and it was pretty amazing. You know, just thinking about, this is my team, and to be able to go on the field and actually do something that honorable was just super huge. You know, I know how my family feel about that. It's just awesome.
I'm a little bit nervous because, like, if I were him, I'd be very worried if I forgot some of the words, and I would be nervous.
He has been working so hard for this moment. I'm not nervous for him. I know he's going to do awesome.
I was that guy in the stands, always watching the anthem, and now I'm about to be that guy on the field, honoring the country, honoring our veterans, and kicking off a Niner game. That was a vision I saw, but I had no idea that I would be connected with the 49ers, my love, my faithful, in the same day, in the same life.
For the last 20 years, this is kind of like the pinnacle of what he's been working for. I'm super excited for him.
I think he's got it. I think he's going to give a gift to a lot of people, and they're going to be really glad they got to hear him.
You know, I'm about to be surrounded by 70,000 49er faithful in the home of the faithful. And, you know, that's just the biggest blessing to me. Super pumped just to rock it and do my best for the faithful, for my family, you know, for our country.
And now to perform our national anthem for you today, please welcome California native, singer, songwriter, and lifelong 49ers faithful, Michael Anati.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare.
Faithful means that it doesn't matter whether you're going to the Super Bowl or whether you're the worst team in the NFL. You watch every game, you're committed, you defend your team, you root for your team, you watch every game. The true faithful fans are the fans that go through the hard times, and it makes the good times better.
Being 100% committed, through thick and thin, you stay there.
Unwavering, kind of a dedication or a loyalty. You know, we think about the faithful and who they are. They're always there, and they're always loyal to the team. And Michael, he exemplifies the faithful because, he, like I said, he's a man of faith, and he's a Niner fan, true and true.
Faithful to me is believing in the unseen wholeheartedly and knowing that what you believe in is real.
I became a Niner fan in 1981, learned the game of football, and lost interest for baseball and football only now.
I'm a diehard Niners for life.
It's part of my family. It's been part of my family for about three generations.
She had no choice from the day she was born.
Angel Montana went and threw a bomb to Jerry Rice on the right side, and we won the game.
Good old Joe.
My name is Raj.
My name is Anjali.
And our family has been faithful since 79.
Niners, baby!
Members of the faithful, as you can see, we love telling a good story. Trust us to share yours by reaching out to 49ers Studios at fns@49ers.com.
The defining moment for me, 1981 championship game, was watching Bill Walsh talk to Joe Montana, because we were so close to the sidelines. You know, I my dad could see me, and I would always ask him, can I go down, you know, take a walk down there, just to the edge of the seats, right by the field. And, of course, you know, I would scream Joe's name just like the rest of us kids. And, you know, he was just locked in with Bill Walsh. And that had a big impact on me, just the way they carried themselves. You know, I'd never really seen anything like that before. That type of concentration and that type of aura. I mean, there was a vibe to it. It's no surprise to me that he became the legend he is, because he was focused. Seeing those guys together, you know, Walsh and Montana, just, I've seen a lot of photos since then, and it takes me right back.